Yep, it's on. That sound okay? It's plugged in, it's working. All right, that's great. Thank you. God bless you, one and all. It's great to see everyone that I've seen before and some more, so praise God for that. Before I get started, I wanted to give a shout out for your pastor. He spoke at the Canadian Apostolic Conference, and he was beyond sensational. I mean, he spoke a very powerful word. It was a very powerful word. It was a word that, you know, had some substance to it in terms of us living more like Christ and being more like Christ and behaving more like Christ. And those subjects do impact you, you know, when you're talking about things like honor and grace and humility and things like that, you know, those subjects have an impact. And your pastor did a great job of encouraging and blessing and building up the church and the pastors there. So that was great to experience. Well, this month is May, am I correct? So that means we've got about 7 and a bit months of the year left. And God spoke to me toward the end of last year about some things He wanted to do this year. Now, these things are available to Christians every year of their life. So if you miss out in 2018, that's okay. The blessings carry on. But the Lord just said to me, I'm putting a special anointing on these three things that people can experience them this year. So these things could happen to you in the next 7.5 months. So the first of them is this, divine hope realized. Divine hope realized. Things that you're hoping for, things that you're praying for, things that you're desiring, things that you're wanting to happen. God says, I'm in the business of fulfillment, and this is going to be a year of the fulfilling of the godly hope that is in people. Now, what do I mean by hope? Do I mean I hope I'm going to win the lottery? No. I don't buy lottery tickets. And the reason I don't buy lottery tickets is because I don't believe in luck. I believe in Jesus. I don't believe in doing finance the world's way. I believe in doing finance God's way. I believe in tithes and offerings that open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing you can't contain and protect you, you know, help your car tires to go further than they would without God and all those other kinds of things. But the Bible kind of hope is not wishing and hoping and dreaming and, you know, about some great thing that might or might not happen. And it's not a worldly hope. It is a Bible hope. It's a hope that's based on the promises of God's Word. And Jesus has said of Him in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 20, it says that all the promises of God are yes in Him. But we have to say the amen. We have to say the amen to the promises of God. So when you are going to have a hope that God will fulfill, it has to be a godly hope that's based on the promises of God's Word. Not just a worldly hope. Oh, someone else got a new car. Oh, I'm going to hope I get a new car or something along like that. You know, God wants to provide for you. Yes, He wants you to have a car that's good for you and good for your family and good for your ministry and so on like that. But you see what I mean? It's not just keeping up with the Jones. It's not just copying what the world offers. But it's saying, God, You are my provider and Lord, I'm trusting You according to Your Word. Now, many people are aware of a scripture, Proverbs 13 verse 12. Proverbs 13 verse 12. It says this, hope deferred or delayed makes the heart sick or weak, but a desire, a longing, a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. So when God fulfills the promises of His Word, when God fulfills the things that you're hoping in, that the Word of God says are yours. Remember this, whatever the Bible says is true for you and true for every believer. You are who God says you are in His Word. You have what God says you have in His Word. You can do what God says you can do in His Word. And so when you see that hope that's based on the promises of God fulfilled, it is a tree of life. It bears fruit in an ongoing way. If you gain the promise of healing in your life, it will give you faith for every other healing you need and for the ministry of healing to others. It's a tree of life. You don't just get one blessing. But that blessing and that conquest and that victory enables you to have faith for other blessings and conquest, and you can eat the fruit of that for a long time and share it with others also, that what God has done for you, He will do for them. But I want you to know this, that hope deferred makes the heart sick. So there are times when things that we want to happen haven't happened. And that can make us miserable. You know, when these things don't get fulfilled, we can be angry or we can be depressed. I want you to know, some years ago, God taught me a very special lesson, and it was this. Frustration can either be your enemy or your friend. Frustration is your enemy if it produces anger and depression because something you want to happen hasn't happened. Your goals are blocked. You know, you just seem to be going around in circles and God's answering other people's prayers. He's not answering your prayers and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So that's when frustration's your enemy. Frustration becomes your friend when it motivates you and it positions you for change, for breakthrough, for victory, for increase. So let me give you an example. I was frustrated about the ministry of healing because I was in a Pentecostal church like this one, people who believe in the promises of God and believe in physical healing, and yet it was just a random thing in my life. It wasn't something that was a normal part of my ministry. And in 30 years, we had 3 miracles, one every 10 years. Well, since I've handed my church over, I would say I've had 6 or more than that absolute real miracles. One fellow had hemiplegia, you know, on his legs were out of line. They one was shorter than the other. He was in daily pain. He had an insert in his shoe, and God healed him just in one moment of time. Hallelujah. And a hemiplegia is, you know, you have paraplegia when it's from the waist down, quadriplegia when it's from the neck down, hemiplegia's on one side, like you've had a stroke. And although we didn't see his limbs fatten out, I believe next time I see him, his limbs will have fattened out on the left side. But he was certainly healed in terms of his skeletal system and the pain and everything else like that. And he tested it out at work the next day and testified about it on the Monday night. So that was pretty awesome. But anyway, one every 10 years, a miracle. Healings would be maybe one every 6 weeks, but it was random. Like, we didn't know who was going to get healed or when. It just kind of, and when it happened, we all celebrated. But we didn't know why it happened or how it happened or anything else like that. Now, I was pretty frustrated with this. And I would say to the Lord, I would say, God, why did you put me in a Pentecostal church? Why couldn't you put me in a church that doesn't believe in healing, and then I wouldn't be frustrated? Then I wouldn't be angry, and then I wouldn't be depressed, because they wouldn't believe it and I didn't have to believe it and I didn't have to have the evidence of it. So I would have been a lot better. You know, what are you doing to me? Why are you persecuting me in this way? How many of you know that's not a good way to get a miracle? You know, if you blame God that He's the problem, how's He ever going to be the answer? You can't blame God for your problems. So I realized that was not getting me anywhere, even though it was going on for some years, I'm telling you. I was angry and depressed about this thing. But then my frustration became my friend because I learned a principle. And this is the principle. I want you to say these words after me. Faith is a forest, not a mountain. I want you to say it again, out loud this time. Faith is a forest, not a mountain. Once more, faith is a forest, not a mountain. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, you don't just build up this mysterious spiritual substance called faith until it becomes bigger than someone else's. You have to build your faith on an individual, specific basis on every topic in the Bible. So you have a strong oak tree of faith for salvation. Nobody can convince you that you're not going to heaven. The first time I told my Catholic sister-in-law that we knew we were going to heaven, she went off her brain at me. She was so angry. She said, "You're proud, you're arrogant, you can't possibly know that you're going to heaven. Even the Pope doesn't know he's going to heaven or not." That's what she said to me. She's since been saved, and now she's as convinced as what everyone else is that she's going to heaven as well, you know, based on the promises of God. But you know, that's what she said. Now, a true Christian, how do you know you're saved? Well, you really won't know until you get to heaven. But there's only two ways you know you're saved. Number one, because you've chosen to believe the Bible and the promises of God. Number two, because the Holy Spirit bears witness inside of you that you are the child of God. But there's no scientific evidence. There's no objective evidence. You can't prove to anybody else that you're saved. You can only point them to the same Bible that you believe and say, "Look, that's the promise. If I repent of my sin and receive Jesus, I'm going to heaven. You know, the blood of Jesus washes me clean of every sin. And you know, I know him. I feel good inside. I feel clean inside. I feel like a weight lifted off me. You know, I just know I'm heaven bound." But you can't prove it to anyone else that's not a believer. So you've got a strong tree of faith that you know you're going to heaven. You've got a strong tree of faith probably for sanctification. I certainly hope you do. So that the sins that the devil used to bring you down before you were saved, he doesn't bring you down so easy anymore. Because, you know, you don't tell as many lies. You know, when I was a pastor in my second year, I discovered a shocking truth that I was too naive to know. Christians tell lies. And they make up rumors that aren't true. And after church, pastor, you'll be very surprised about this, they eat roast pasta for lunch. And I don't mean P-A-S-T-A either. I mean, you know, they go home and they invite people and they talk about the pastor and, you know, and they have secret meetings and they're critical and they're blah, 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 blah. Now, I know I'm not speaking about anyone in this room. I know none of you have ever said anything negative about any pastor. I know you've all said they're just wonderful men of God and all the rest of that. I know you've never told a lie, you know, not even when a policeman was looking at you. You know, not even when someone asked you a question you didn't want to answer and you went, and blurted out something. I know you don't do those things. You're so full of the Holy Ghost. But the point about it is this, that really the devil can't trip you up as easily as what he used to. There are things that he can put before you and you just go, "No, buddy, you know, been there, done that. That's not going to get me anymore." You have this strong tree of faith. So you've got to build your own tree of faith for healing, both to receive healing and to minister healing. That's why I wrote my book about healing. I didn't bring any with me this time, but I wrote a book on it. And never dreamed I would ever do that, for being frustrated for years about healing, then to write a book on it. How stupid is that? But the fact is that, you know, I mean, I've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of healings over just the last 3 years. Six people have put aside walking canes that they used every single day. One of them was in Canada, in Uxbridge, in Pastor Jim's church in Uxbridge. And there was this lady there. She is the most incredible singer. She had the voice of an angel. She was not tall and so forth. But anyway, she's in about 40 or something like that. And she had a cane every day. And when I prayed the prayer of faith over that congregation, she felt something click in her hip. and all the pain left. She walked out of the room, down the stairs without using her cane. She went out into the parking lot. She danced around waving her cane over her head. Hallelujah. And so, you know, what did I do to go from frustration about healing my enemy to frustration my friend and stepping into a healing ministry? Well, I spent 1 to 2 years reading only the Gospels and the Book of Acts. I bought every series about healing I could possibly lay my hands on. I mean, hundreds of dollars expended on buying materials and listening to CDs. And I watched YouTube's 28 by Lester Sumrall and a guy named Bayless Conley. Andrew Womack was fantastic. His mate, his offsider, Barry Bennett, really good. And, you know, all these other people. I mean, I just had, oh, of course, Bethel and Johnson. I did Randy Clark's healing seminar and all the rest of it. You know, so I just got hold of my little weed of a tree of healing, and I just barreled it. You know, I mean, I just poured fertilizer on it. I just kept going, and I just neglected all the other trees so I could grow this one. And I got to a place where when I had my mind renewed and I had my faith built up and I started to act upon, Roger Sapp was another one. He was really good. So then the more I prayed for people, the more people got healed. And God was just demonstrating the truth of his word, because what did I do? Where I was weak, now I'm strong. And so for you to receive healing, you've got to go to the promises of God and build your faith to accept your healing. And then if you want to minister healing, you've got to go back to those same promises of God and believe that when you pray for the sick, they are going to get healed. So that's what you've got to do in order to move from the frustration and the depression of hope deferred that makes the heart sick into a tree of life that has enduring fruit in your life. And Adoniram Judson was a missionary in Burma, Myanmar, and he said this: the future is as bright as the promises of God. That was after being there for 7 years and they were going to pull him out because of lack of results. And he said, the future is bright as the promises of God. Listen to Numbers 23:19. God is not human that he should lie, nor a human being that he would change his mind. Does God speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And of course, the answer to that is no. God is faithful and powerful to do all he has said in his word by his spirit. Hebrews 10:23 and 35-6 say this: do not cast away your hope or your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Now, one thing I wanted to emphasize just on this thought of hope deferred and hope fulfilled. Family salvation. I want you to think about family salvation. You've got to build your faith for family salvation. So Isaiah 43 verse 5 to 8 says this: since you are precious and honored in my sight, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed and made. Lead them out. Bring them back out of darkness, those backsliders who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. Amen. Can you see that? God's shouting out for your family to be united in Christ, and you need to join him in that call, in that cry, in that shout of faith. Lord, I call my family in Jesus' name, to be united in Christ. Isaiah 44 verse 3. Now this verse started a revival in about 1950 on the island of Lewis, part of the United Kingdom. Listen to this: I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Hallelujah. What about that? So your siblings, your children, your parents, you know, whoever you like, can all be included in this family salvation. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. And a revival came to that island of Lewis because of people that prayed this in faith, that that revival would come. So I want you to think about your own family, and I want you to say these words after me. God will pour out His Spirit on my offspring and His blessing on my descendants. God will pour out His Spirit on my offspring and His blessing on my descendants. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, doesn't that give you, a sense of faith and saying, yes, God, your promise is there for me. I'm going to take it. I'm going to believe it. Hallelujah. Now, I want to tell you something about this word hope. Hope and faith are brothers who are joined at the hip. Hope and faith. Now, one of the qualities that we have that is like God is that we have conscience and imagination. Conscience and imagination. Imagination is where hope comes from. That's where hope lives. Hope lives in the imagination. So what you're hoping for that's based on the promise of God's word, you then begin to imagine what would your life look like if that Bible promise was true for you. What would my life look like if I wasn't sick? Well, I wouldn't have pain. I'd get up out of bed and I'd be able to touch my toes or do whatever I want to do without any pain in my body. I imagine what it would be like if the promise of God was true. If you can imagine it, you can hope that it could happen to you one day. Now, faith and hope are joined at the hip. Faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. Now, I'm telling you, if you can hope for something that's in the Bible, promised to you, if you can hope for it, faith grows in the soil of hope. So if you can imagine yourself being healed, one day you'll wake up and not just imagine it or hope it, one day you'll wake up and believe it. Especially if you're confessing the promises of God about that healing taking place in your life. Healing doesn't come cheap or easy. Just like going to the doctor, you've got to drive there, you've got to pay for medicine, you've got to do this, you've got to have tests, you've got to do this, do that. Well, the same thing with biblical healing. Although it's freely available to anyone, and every single person in this room can be healed this morning. But the thing is, if you haven't got the faith to receive it, it isn't going to happen. So you've got to strengthen yourself and build yourself in faith. Now, you can rely on my faith or Pastor Ryan's faith or Anthony's faith or somebody else's faith, you know, that's in this room. I know Kathy's a big faith lady, you know, and so on. So, and I think you are too, aren't you, Paulie? You know, so, you know, there's faith people in the room. And so you can get healed with somebody with faith. But the most sure way is when you build your own faith up. That's the most sure way. And so if you imagine your life restored, if you imagine these things being real in your life, then the time will come when you will believe it and you will be able to receive it. Now, I want to just move on a little bit from this subject of hope. But before I do, I want to just tell you how to handle this hope. Firstly, keep focused on God and His Word, not on the problem. Second, keep imagining it being real in your life. As you do that, confess the promises of God and faith will rise in your heart so that you're not just imagining it, but you're believing it. Act in faith toward its fulfillment. Listen to this. Psalm 31:24 says, "Be strong and courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord." So there's action you're going to need to take somewhere along the line. All right, The second thing I want to say to you that's available all the time, but especially in these next 7.5 months, is this: divine help evident in your life. Divine help evident in your life. Now, I want to say this to you. The world should be able to see God in your life, because the Lord said, I will be your God and you will be my people. The world should be able to see God in your life. And Christianity is not meant to be boring. Christianity is meant to be an exciting supernatural partnership between God and his people. So every single Christian should have two testimonies that they are praying about sharing with people in their world. Two testimonies that you should have, that you can be able to share within 2 minutes. The first testimony is your salvation. The first testimony is like Paul in Acts 26. He said, this is what my life was like before I got saved. This is how I came to the Lord, and this is what my life is like now. And the emphasis is on the last part, not the first part. Don't go telling them all the sins that you ever committed in your life. They don't need to know that. You can just say, you know, you didn't have a great life without the Lord, and now he's blessed you and he's real in your life and he's helping you succeed, whereas previously you failed and all of that. So you should be praying and saying, Lord, give me someone I can share my salvation testimony with. If it's my own brother or my neighbor or somebody at work or, you know, whatever, help me to do that. Okay, now the second testimony that you should have, that you should be praying, Lord, I want to share this with somebody, and then, Lord, help me to say to my friend, look, you know, I've got this really good thing that's happened to me, and could I buy you a coffee, and would you listen to me for a couple of minutes? And so on. And you can say, I'm a Christian, I want to tell you something about God's done in my life. Would you have a coffee with me and let me tell you about it? And so on. So this second testimony is, how do I know God's real in my life? I know God is real in my life. And you should have a testimony about that. Now, one lady we knew for a long time, she had this testimony. She was driving along this road, and it had like a cliff on this side, an empty valley on the other side, and a curve, and this truck was coming around the curve. And when the truck came around, she completely froze. She was just overcome with fear. She had no idea what to do. As far as she was concerned, her life was over and that truck was going to hit her and there was no way out. And while she was in that frozen state, an angel stepped into that car, grabbed hold of the wheel, turned the vehicle like this, zip, 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 and it went between the truck and the cliff face, and she carried on her journey without a problem. It was an angelic intervention, no doubt about it. What about other things that might have happened in your family where God answered prayer? Maybe there was a child that was sick. There was supposed to, you know, not ever play sport again. And they are playing sport. They're doing well. And so forth. Any exercise of the spiritual gifts where you or someone in your family has been healed, or where there's been a prophecy and you, oh, gosh, how did he know that, you know, and so forth. Can you understand? There are things that should have happened and should be normal in your life that demonstrates how real God is. Now, can I just ask you all, just for a moment, please, would you all just close your eyes for a moment? I don't want to embarrass anyone. I just want you all to close your eyes. Please don't look around. Just close your eyes. If you've got a testimony like that, that you know God is real, that you could tell someone, I know God is real because this happened in my life or my family, just put your hand up for me. Well, that's great. That's wonderful. All right, put your hand down. Any answer to prayer is a testimony of the reality of God. And so these are the two things that you should have. Can I tell you what the Bible says? Psalm 121, my help comes from the Lord. Isaiah 41, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Hebrews 13:5-6, I will confidently say, the Lord is my helper. Hebrews 4:16, I will come boldly before the throne of grace and find His amazing grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. Isaiah 41, I will help you. Now, if God's going to help you, let me tell you some of the ways He does it. Moses and the Jews at the Red Sea. An enemy army behind them, an ocean in front of them. And what were they doing? Whinging and wailing. Why did you bring us out here? We should have stayed in Egypt. You know, we could have. We enjoyed working 14 hours a day. We just loved it when those, Egyptian foremen whipped us on the back, you know. And we just really enjoyed being poor and being, imprisoned and everything else. You know, that was really fun, you know, compared to this. What did you bring us out here for? You know, and then God speaks to Moses. And He says, shut up the whinging, wailing, crying and complaining and do something. Go forward. And He lifted up the rod. That rod represents the name of Jesus and the Word of God. You've got to lift up the name of Jesus and the Word of God over your situation. And when He did, the sea opened and they went through. Now, how dumb are those Egyptians? Like, you know, their God has just opened the Red Sea so they can escape from the Egyptian army. So here's the Egyptian army saying, man, our God can't do that. How the heck did that happen? That's not normal. We've been down here a few times. We've never seen the sea open like that. But, well, anyway, their God opened it and their God is allowing us to chase them. I mean, are you nuts? I mean, How dumb is that? And so they just go walking into, an escape route that was meant only for the Jews. When the Jews got out, kaboom, the gate closed. The whole Egyptian army went. And, Joshua experienced the same thing at the River Jordan. Every healing miracle in the Bible is an example of God's help. I want to say this to you here at Cornerstone. There are many promises in the book of Haggai. And one of them is this, that if we prioritize the house of God, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, God will help you get into victory, prosperity. He says, from this day on I will bless you. And all these other wonderful promises. He said, the desired of all nations will visit you. The presence of God will be real in your life. The presence of God will be real in your services and so on like this. And I want to say to you that the best days of this church are still ahead. Amen. The best days of this church are still... The Bible says in Haggai, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former house. So your best days are not behind you, they're in front of you. Hallelujah. In this place, I will grant shalom. I will grant the peace, protection, provision, and power of God. It says in Haggai 2, 18, 19, from the day when the foundation was laid, from the day when you got Jesus as the foundation of your life, from the day that you put Jesus first, from the day that Jesus became the rock on which you built your life, it says, from this day on, I will bless you. Get your foundation right. Get that Matthew 6:33 thing happening in your life, and then God's blessing and resourcing and divine partnership will be evident. You know, the victories that Israel had, and most of them were not God doing it for them. Most of the victories was they had to partner with God to get the thing done. You know, financially, Jesus paid His taxes through a coin in a fish's mouth. Whenever a person's life is transformed, whenever Holy Spirit gifts are used, this is the evidence of God's help. And He wants you to have that help. And He wants other people to see that you have the help of God in your life. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? So the two things I've said, divine hope fulfilled. When you make frustration your friend and not your enemy. When you do what you need to do, like Moses, stop whinging and wailing, lift up the rod, you know, do something to go forward. And divine help. When you do what the Bible says, God will do what the Bible says. When you move, God will move. Hallelujah. Don't wait for God to move before you move. He's waiting for you to move before He moves. That's the way it is. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And the final thing is, the third of the three, divine healing manifest. This is a year and it's a time in history where God is re-anointing healing ministry to make His presence known in all the earth. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to receive your physical healing. He wants you to be an instrument of healing. He wants you to lay hand on the sick and that they shall recover. Now, how many of you have ever heard of a guy called Todd White?
Say that again.
Todd White? Heard of a man called Todd White? Some have. Okay, you have, yeah, Todd White. Now, Todd White's a famous guy in prophetic Pentecostal circles. He wears these long dreadlocks, you know, or funny things, whatever they are, and so on. But anyway, he's got the most amazing street ministry and miracle ministry. I mean, miracles just happen all the time for this guy. But do you know what happened? When he started his ministry, it was soon after he became a Christian. And he said, well, if this healing stuff's for real, well, I'm going to get into it. And so he said, well, I'm going to pray for 10 people a day. And he went out. He obviously didn't have a job or something, I don't know, but he went out and he prayed for 10 people a day. One day, nobody healed. 5 days, nobody healed. 10 days, that's 100 people, nobody healed. 30 days, that's 300 people prayed for, nobody healed. 500 people, nobody healed. 501. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle for the rest of his life, because he just persisted in believing the promises of God. 500 people, no result. 501, one of the greatest miracle ministries America's ever seen. Hallelujah. You can look him up on YouTube. And I've seen him, you know, a kid legally blind and he prays for him a couple of times, the kid's healed, you know, out in the street and stuff like that. So, you can receive your healing. And if you're ready to receive your healing, I'm just going to pray a prayer of faith now. I know we've got another service starting. And so you can receive your healing. I want you to listen to these 3 points before I pray the prayer of faith over you. Number one, you have to ask for healing, not prayer. If you ask for prayer and you stand up for prayer, then you receive a prayer and sit down and you got what you asked for, which was prayer, but you didn't ask for healing, so nothing's going to happen. So you have to stand up for healing. And like blind Bartimaeus, and Jesus said, what do you want? You have to stand up for a specific healing. He said, Lord, I want my sight. So you have to stand up and say, Lord, I'm praying for my lower back right now. Lord, I believe you are going to heal my lower back right here, right now. I've seen people healed of allergies, bloating in their stomach and digestive issues and stuff like that, dry eye syndrome. One lady had sort of blotchy things before her eyes and that was healed. Another lady had 70% vision in one eye, it went to 100%. She was blind in the other eye and it went to about 20% or something like that. And so all things are possible. I couldn't count the number of people healed of pain issues. And that's going to happen to people in this room now. If you're in pain, it's going to be gone in the next few minutes. And so the first thing is you stand for the specific healing that you're asking Jesus for. You're not asking me for it. Get your eyes off me and get your eyes onto Jesus. So the second thing is that you ask in faith, not in hope. Hope is that it might happen one day if you stand up now. Well, if you stand in hope, that means you're not ready to receive it now. So you've got to stand up and say, Lord, I believe right here, right now, in this meeting, I'm going to receive the specific healing I'm asking you for. My back's going to be better. My knees are going to be better. My neck's going to be better. You know, my organs are going to be restored. Whatever it is going to happen right here, right now. The third thing is that when I pray this prayer of faith, you are going to move away from your problem and into your miracle. You're going to be like the man with the withered arm. You're going to stretch forth your arm. So you're going to bend your back like this. You're going to lift your knee like that. You're going to stand, put your weight on the ankle that's been bothering you, and so forth like that. You're going to move away from the problem into the miracle. You're going to try and do something you couldn't do before. And as you do, as you move, God will move. As you move, God will partner with you, God will help you, and God will heal you. So if you can do those three things, stand for a specific healing that you're going to receive here and now. And if you believe Jesus is in the room because we've gathered in His name, then don't look at me, look at Him. By faith, touch the hem of His garment. And this is a way you can use your imagination. You close your eyes and you imagine you are in this room with Jesus. Now we know He's here, right? So you can imagine Him being here. And you can imagine that He is here for everyone in the room. So it means He's here for you. So you imagine, as you close your eyes, you imagine Jesus coming and standing in front of you and saying, like He did to the guy in John 5, do you want to be well? Saying, like He did to blind Bartimaeus, what do you want? And you say, Lord, I want my sight. Lord, I want my hearing restored. Lord, I want my organs renewed. I want my youth renewed like the eagle, and so on. So, and that helps you. So the way you step into your miracle is to physically move against the problem, but also to verbally move against the problem. You know, the power of the tongue. So you need to thank Jesus for what He's done, and you need to command your body to be well. So if you're ready to do those things this morning and you want me to pray this prayer of faith for you, would you stand up, please, quickly? We've got 5 minutes. Now, can I just ask, how many of you that are standing now have got actual pain in your body? Can you just put your hand up? You've actually got pain in your body. Okay. The thing that's with people with pain, you can put your hand down. The thing with people with pain is that you've got a way of knowing that the Lord's touched you right here, right now. Other people don't have a way. They have to wait till they get their blood pressure tested, or they have to wait for some other kind of a thing to see what God's done. But everyone's got to leave this room thanking Jesus for their healing. No matter what you feel or what you don't feel, get your eyes off your symptoms and your sickness and get your eyes onto Jesus and say, Jesus, I believe You. There were people like the lepers who walked away with nothing except the word of the Lord, but they got healed as they walked home, you know, and so forth like that. So it's a real faith thing. So, Father, I just want to say thank You right now for the miracle of healing that You are doing right here in this house right now, because Jesus is in the room. I thank You for the promises of God that we put our faith in right now. Lord, Your word says that Jesus took our makov and coli, our sicknesses, our diseases, and literally our pains. He literally took our pains upon the cross. And that by His wounds we are healed. By His punishment we have peace. And I speak that peace over every person here. I command pain go in Jesus' name. Pain go in the name of Jesus. Healing come right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You that Psalm 103 says, You forgive all our sin, You heal all our diseases, and You renew our youth like the eagle. Lord, You take us back to before the problem happened. And I thank You, Lord, for people that have been healed of things they had for 40 years, 30 years, 25 years, 16 years, 12 years, 8 years, every kind of years, 2 years, the whole thing that I've seen over these last few years. And Lord, I just command right now bodies to be renewed like the eagle. I command organs to be restored. I command inflammation to leave. I command arthritis to leave. I command growth of calcification to leave. I command a new cartilage to be put in knees right now in Jesus' name. I take authority over pain and all its causes. I take authority over the spirit of pain and the spirit of infirmity. And I bind you and I cast you out in Jesus' name. And I say, be gone forever. And I command peace. Jesus was punished so that we could have peace. And I command that peace right now, driving out pain. Lord, any stomach issues, rib issues, in the name of Jesus, I command pain to leave right now and healing to come. Now, I want you just to start moving, just to start to bend your back, lift your knee, just start to test your body out right now. As you do, just say, thank you, Jesus, for my healing. Just say, thank you, Jesus, for my healing. Command your body to be well. So I command, now lift your arms up above your head. Get those shoulders liberated. Turn your neck from side to side in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for these healings, Lord, that you're doing right now, that you are manifesting divine help evident, divine healing manifest for the glory of King Jesus. And we give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. Now just tell me right now, just put your hands back down. Those who got your hands up. If you feel there's a change that's happened in your body, just put your hand up over your head and say, you know, I feel some things have happened, you know. My gosh, that's a lot of hands. That is a lot of hands. Kathy, what's happened to you?
My neck.
Your knee?
My knee, the patella, was out of place.
Alignment, right.
And it's not now.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Was there any, is there any clicking or any pain or anything?
It
was clicking and there's no clicking.
I see now, I couldn't
right. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Anthony, what about you?
I had a sharp pain in my back.
A sharp pain in your back?
It's not there now.
It's not there now. Thank you, Jesus. Just bend over a little bit like this and test it out. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Did someone else up the back here? Was it you, sir? Or did you put your hand up?
My right foot is feeling better.
Your right foot's feeling better. Yeah, what was wrong with it?
I had a car run over it.
You had a car run over it?
Well, yeah, years ago.
Oh, years ago? So is it in pain at the moment or not?
No.
Is it normally in pain?
More or less.
Yeah, yeah. Can you just stand on that one foot? How does that feel?
Good.
That feels good. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Did you put your hand up, sir, one of you two? Yes? Which one? Oh, you did? What can you feel this difference, sir?
I don't have the pain and stress in my stomach that I had this morning.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. I knew someone was going to adhere to their stomach. That's why I prayed that. You know, so it was yours. Father, that's never coming back in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Oh, yes, sir. What is it that's happened to you? You had some pain in your stomach. And it's gone. Lord, we just thank you for that healing. It's never coming back in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Because Jesus Christ is Lord. Come on, give the Lord a thank offering, can we? Amen. Can we give the Lord a thank offering? Now, where's Josh? Where's my friend Josh? Okay, I'm handing the meeting back over to Pastor now. Josh, you are in charge. You press this twice and the camera comes up. So I want you to get some video testimonies for me on there. Don't let anyone leave without giving a video testimony.
I don't know if I can do that.
Yes, come on.
All right, well, we are going to close.